In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When it comes to sin, Lutherans are not really very advanced in ranking sins as far as greater or lesser sins, mortal or venial. All sins in thought, word, and deed break your relationship with God and need to be covered by the blood of Jesus. But some do not have so much effect on those around you. Many sins are those stupid, routine sins of anger, lustful thoughts, selfishness that seem to be a constant companion. You know they are sins and you need to confess them, but they do not bother you that much. These are part of being a natural-born sinner living in the fallen world. There are other sins, however, that can haunt you. Sins against others. Big sins. Sins with devastating consequences. Sins that you cannot undo. You cannot make them better. Carelessness that leads to the injury or death of another. The drunken one-night stand that could destroy your marriage. The abortion which seemed like the right thing at the time. Sins that haunt you. Herod Antipas is haunted by what he did to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was an innocent victim of Herod's lusts and cowardice. Herod Antipas divorced his politically connected first wife so he could marry his half-niece, who was already married to his brother. You can only imagine the uncontrolled lust that must have been in play to drive these two together, despite all of the damage and even warfare that would be caused. And once together, they did not want to hear that what they were doing was wrong. We're all a bit like that. Far too often, when you get caught up in sinful behavior, you do not want to hear the truth about what you're doing. So when John the Baptist, a prophet of God, tells Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife," neither Herod or his wife want to hear John's call to repentance. And so Herod has John thrown in prison. But that's not enough for Herodias. She must be thinking, how dare that wild-haired preacher try to tell me what to do? I want him executed. Then comes the night of Herod's birthday party. The drinks are flowing abundantly, and Herod's stepdaughter, who is also his niece, and is probably around 12, 13, 14 years old, entertains the guests with a dance, almost certainly erotic. Between the lust for his young stepdaughter and the alcohol, Herod sloppily promises the dancer anything she wants, up to half his kingdom. Daughter consults with mother, and Herodias sees the opportunity to get what she wants. She asks for John the Baptist's head on a platter. If Herod had courage, he would do the right thing and protect John from his wife's vindictiveness. But Herod is a coward. He's too afraid of what people might say who heard him make a drunken promise, so he orders John beheaded. And later he is haunted by what he's done. When Herod hears about what Jesus is doing, Herod declares, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." Herod is haunted by what he did to John and now worries John has come back for revenge. Herod is haunted by his sin. We see others in the Bible haunted by their sin. Adam and Eve who disobeyed God. Joseph's brothers who sold him into slavery. Moses who murdered an Egyptian. David who committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband murdered. Peter who denies Jesus 3 times. Judas Iscariot who sells out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. These and so many others are haunted by their deep, dark sins. So many people today are also haunted by their sin. This account of Herod and John the Baptist is horrific, something out of some overly violent and sexual medieval story of kings. We get to the end of the reading after John's head is brought to the party. When his disciples heard of it, they came out and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord. How is this ugly evil the gospel? What is fascinating, though, in Mark is how he sandwiches stories together. If we zoom out just a bit from this account, we see that it's preceded by Jesus sending out his disciples two by two, and it's followed by the disciples returning and reporting what they've done. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. While we were hearing the account of John's beheading, the disciples are out calling people to repent. They are doing the very thing that cost John his head. We see that even in times of opposition and struggle, the church continues on its mission to call people to repent and believe the good news of forgiveness in Jesus. Because there is forgiveness in Jesus. Forgiveness is offered to everyone. Some believe the good news and some reject it. And we see this both ways in the Bible. God comes to Adam and Eve and gives them the promise of forgiveness. Joseph's brothers receive forgiveness, both from Joseph and from the Lord. Moses is forgiven and made God's messenger. David is confronted by the prophet Nathan, and David repents. He pleads with God for forgiveness. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And David receives the Lord's forgiveness. Peter betrays Jesus on the night of his arrest after promising, even though they all fall away, I will not. When Peter hears the rooster crow and realizes what he's done, he goes out and weeps bitterly. But there is forgiveness. On the shores of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus restores Peter three times and sends him to feed his sheep. Judas Iscariot sells Jesus out to the chief priests for 30 pieces of silver and then betrays him with a kiss in the Garden of Gethsemane. But after he sees Jesus condemned and brought to the governor, Judas has a change of heart. His sin overwhelms him. There is forgiveness available through Jesus, but Judas instead goes to the priests and throws his money at them, and they tell him that his sin is not their problem. And in despair, Judas hangs himself. He rejects forgiveness. Herod Antipas is haunted by his sin of killing John the Baptist. The call to repent and believe the good news is for Herod also, but he doesn't want anything to do with it. Jesus is even sent to Herod before his crucifixion, but Herod only wants to see Jesus perform some miracles to entertain him. Herod rejects forgiveness. So many are haunted by sin and guilt and shame. This need not be. Jesus is here for you. Repent and believe the good news. Confess your sins. Jesus has washed away your sin. Come now, let us reason together, says the prophet Isaiah. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. And from Psalm 103, we see in Christ your sin is removed from you. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. In your baptism, you are adopted as a child of God through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1, we read, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. You have been sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until you acquire possession of it. In Christ, there is forgiveness. Jesus destroys the ghost of sins past so they cannot haunt you. You are free in Jesus. So when the devil tries to throw those old forgiven sins in your face, you tell him, that sin no longer belongs to me. Jesus paid for it. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.